Welcome to Heroes of the Hydean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in Fantasy Flight Games' Star Wars RPG line. Currently, our story is Dead in the Water, and it can be found in Star Wars Age of Rebellion's GM's Kit. This is Act 1, Episode 3, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
And I am Brent, playing TV-93, the Sharpshooter Slicer.
I'm Christine, and I play Nima Ptolemy, the Mirialin Commander Tactician.
My name is Leslie, and I support my friends with grenades.
My name's Chris, and I play Motu Ordo, the Mandalorian Commando, a.k.a. Mando Commando!
Yes, and to start us off, I'm going to ask how TV-93 wound up being part of the Rebellion.
I was on a mission during the Clone Wars, and something apparently went horribly wrong, as it always does. I was on an attack craft. We were about to engage surface forces of the Rebellion, and all of a sudden, everything went dark. When I was awoken 20 years later, all of the other droids were in pieces everywhere, but I was still intact. I guess they never bothered to come find me. Anyway, the forces of the Rebellion brought me up and reprogrammed me to be a morale droid. That's my specialty. Apparently, I'm supposed to affect the morale of the Imperial forces, whatever that means. I mostly just talk to people.
Destiny pool, yes? Yes?
Yes. Let's do the destiny pool.
I rolled the dark side. I helped.
Thank you. Thank you so
Brent
much.
Brent actually helped.
I got two light sides.
Oh no, this is going to be one of those sessions. Oh good, thank you, Leslie. You balance us out.
Alright, so to start off with, we have two dark side and four light side points. Everyone has a little bit of fun that they can have. At the end of this act is when we shall do duty, so at the moment, no one has any, so no roll is made. Now, Leslie, would you mind doing a little recap to bring our listeners and everyone else at the table up to speed?
Well, we were on a ship going on a milk run, and it turned out the milk run was to collect droids at a port that was full of criminals. And because that's the way it goes, there was a bar fight, which I think Motu started?
I did not start it.
Motu was part of the...
It was the Wookiee's fault.
Beginning of the fight, there was mayhem, some stabbing, and then we actually found the person we were supposed to meet and negotiate. And dude, okay, so these droids are all in these crates, and I checked them out and they seemed okay, and the droid checked them out and they seemed okay. And so the boss lady goes up and stone cold negotiates for like 2/3 of our budget, which is a big savings, I'd like to point out. No, it's 3/4 of our budget. But still, stares down this star privateer and just gets a fine, fine deal. And then we went home. It was all very exciting.
At least someone was impressed by my negotiating skills.
Well, you really angered her. She did not seem happy with you, but...
But I saved the Alliance a million credits.
That's pretty impressive.
There is that. Though we do find ourselves right at the point of Captain Oglerk stomping out of the hangar bay, and the four of you left with these five very massive containers of droids, because each one is holding approximately 200 droids, and the deed on a automated space tug.
Does the automated space tug have hyperdrive?
It does have hyperdrive, but it has a very simplistic comm system.
Like hands on a string?
Pretty much. It is a hyperspace capable tug. The problem is that its nav computer is so old and out of date that you can't download encrypted coordinates to it. You'd have to send them in the clear, and considering the Shadow Raptor is the Shadow Raptor, that would sort of be a bad thing.
Well, what about TV? I know he's not an astromech droid, but could we run coordinates through him?
That is a possibility. If you wanted to, TV could take the tug back to the Shadow Raptor.
Really? That's it?
I think the coordinates were in the Wookiee's droid.
That droid definitely has that section of their droid brain encrypted, so that it would be a very, very hard thing to try and pry it out of their brain forcibly.
So logically speaking, which of us know this information from a technical standpoint?
From a technical standpoint, both Curdo and TV would be knowing this. Like, one from a mechanical point of view and the other from a computer's slash droid point of view. They both have the experience of, well, yeah, this thing is ancient. It's a very simplistic one, but it is also automated, so...
Okay, cool. So I think now that Matu has no idea that there's this problem, so he thinks everything's good, so he's like, all right, let's head back. I'm tired of station. Didn't even get a drink. Well, the LT didn't even get a drink. Wookiee's trying to punch me. Let's just get out of here. Come on. Send it off. Send it off.
Please tell me it is that simple.
Kif, can you just, like, program it in and we can head home?
I don't know where the Shadow Raptor is, man. I don't have that knowledge. Boss lady?
All right, then.
Nobody gave me the coordinates. I think we're going to need to talk to Lilu and see if there isn't some way that she can share that.
So off we go, back to the Binster's loom.
You get back there, and Braddica the Wookiee is sort of looming at the top of the gangway, and making sure Matu knows that a Wookiee is going to be flying the party back to the Shadow Raptor, trying to be a little puffed up and somewhat self-important.
Braddica, you're kind of in the way. I can't get on the ship.
To which she just smiles, and then sweeps an arm, allowing you onto the ship.
Give a snappy nod and head on board.
I'm just going to ask, out of character, for context, can we somehow couple the tug to the spinster's loom so that we, like, jump together so there's actually no programming needed? Like, is there a tow for the tug?
There absolutely can be that, yes. You might still have to get Braddica's permission to do this, but it is an eminently doable thing. In fact, this would be the first thing that pops up in Kith's and TV's minds. It would probably be a pretty easy thing to, as Star Wars calls it, slave the tug to Spinster's loom and off you go. It'd be a little bit harder, but yeah, no, absolutely doable.
All right, so when we get back on the Spinster's loom, I'm assuming we're going to that nice little common room where someone gets beaten at chess routinely. I'll just kind of raise my hand. So why don't we just, instead of all this who flies what, just kind of slap them together and make the jump as one?
Will that work?
Yeah. I can totally. I can do anything.
No, look, really, if you can do it, go for it. But I don't know much about hyperspace mechanics. I've only been on one of these ships a handful of times so far, so you're the expert in this. You tell me what we can do and what we can't.
At this point, Braddica's leaning against the door jamb for the hallway going off to the cockpit, tapping her chin, just sort of thinking about it. It's like, yeah, that could work. Obviously growling as a Wookiee does.
What'd she say?
Braddica's sort of pondering it, not exactly jumping at the chance to have a unwieldy tug tied to her ship.
And is that Lilu translating?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, is this literally tied, or are you just, like, slaving the hyper...
Just slaving the hyperdrive.
Okay.
But it's still... It makes astrogation a harder process.
Matu has... Since sat down, he has drawn his sword, and he's cleaning the blood off of it. looks up at Kif and goes, well,
out of curiosity,
guess you got some work to do.
Did you put your feet up on the table?
Make TV help you. He's just standing around right now.
Okay, so he's not reclining and cleaning his sword. He's actually taking it seriously and, like, hunched yeah. over it. Okay.
No, he's got to clean his sword.
On the table, so we're going to have words.
It's very ceremonial.
Fine, be serious.
Yeah, I mean, it's his ancestral blade. He's got to clean it. I think he probably put the scabbard on the table, and Kif's, like, slowly moving it off the table and putting it beside him.
And they wonder why I just stand here.
Apparently. Makes perfect sense to me. Braddica's, like, it's definitely doable from a can you do it? No one other than Braddica touches the hyperspace drive and the coordinates from it. So you have to get her completely on board before whatever you guys decide to do has a good chance of working.
TV glances over at the hyperdrive controls like he wants to go touch them. He takes a step that direction.
To which Braddica just grins, baring her teeth.
Look, Braddica, can you explain something to me here? We're all working for the Rebel Alliance. Our loyalties are pretty clear. Who are you trying to keep a secret from?
With Braddica... talking, and Lilu translates that, who knows who can be listening in. you're new to her, and you've just come back from on station. Who knows what listening devices could be on you?
I appreciate your vigilance and paranoia. And he goes back to cleaning his sword.
Well, that's the concern. Can't we just check for listening devices? Ensure that we all are clean, which I'm pretty certain that we are. All we did was walk through the station, stopped in the bar for a second, and hung out in a hangar bay.
A second. A very interesting second.
Left your equipment unattended in a room.
I mean, one could just try and maybe charm Braddica to agree. She doesn't seem to be entirely that reluctant.
I did spend 10 of my experience points on coercion.
I think coercion might be a bit much.
No, I don't want to do that. We're gonna get to
yes.
That.
From the sounds of it, kind of several of us are trying to appeal to kind of Braddica's better nature.
By everyone doing that, I would most certainly give, from what I've been hearing, 2 boosts from it.
Almost everyone.
TV, step back.
Because it will be funny, and he didn't make the best argument so far, I think. I think this is really Mattu kind of rolling. But Nima did support him, so maybe I can donate my my better presence.
Okay. Well, I got nothing.
Combined check.
A group check, essentially.
Yeah, group check. I would absolutely go with that.
How does a group check work?
A group check works by you take the best attribute, or sorry, best characteristic, and the best skill between the two participants. And then you combine them. So in this case, I believe Mattu has a presence of 2. Nima has a presence of 3. Neither have any skill and charm. So we're just going to use Nima's better presence of 3. And then we get the 2 boost dice because Ben is nice.
Okay, cool. And what's it against?
Here's the thing. Mattu also has been somewhat threatening in how he's been trying to charm. Like, charming for a Mandalorian still is somewhat intense and threatening. So I'm thinking, by the will of the Force, it is going to be a 1 red difficulty.
You know?
By the will of
as
the Force.
As in, I'm using a destiny point.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we've got 3 green, 2 blue against 1 red. So 3 successes, 1 advantage.
The 3 of you pleading and TV slowly edging towards the hyperspace controls. The hyperspace coordinate input and the comm section are sort of right next to each other, and TV's just inching towards it. And Braddica's looking between the 4 of you and then nods, turns her back, and heads to the cockpit.
Okay. I guess I should work on getting that set up then.
And to do this, it's sort of a combination programming and communications thing, which it would be a fairly average sort of check. A 2 purple kind of check.
Teve, you gonna help?
Here I am, a miracle of modern engineering. Sure, I'll network your old computers together for you.
You are a modern major miracle. Just
I know you don't mean it.
Help. Your thing. I totally mean it. Come on.
If you meant it, you would say nicer things about me.
What do I say that's not nice?
You never say anything about me.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Very well. Give me the ancient wires.
Here you go.
In the meantime, I have a 4 wound. Can I be working on that somehow?
We don't really have a doctor on the ship. You have 4 wounds. How does Mattu kind of go about that? Like, is he... Like, he strikes me as a sort who would kind of generally conceal that sort of thing.
I guess in his mind, this mission's over. He is unaware it is not. So he's kind of, and this is probably a habit he has that drives Kif crazy, is he's just removing all of his armor piece by piece, almost ritualistically, inspecting it for damage, cleaning off the sweat, and he's slowly getting more and more naked by the minute. And so he's gotten punched pretty hard by a Wookiee, so it broke through the soak barrier with that one hit. So I guess that his chest is very visibly
it's
bruised.
It's barely perceptible, but it is kind of perceptible that the breastplate does look slightly caved in. Not enough that's going to hamper movement, but you can see that these 4 knuckle imprints of where Mattu got punched.
Just how hard did he hit you?
Oh, not hard enough.
We agree on this.
Well, obviously you're still standing, but I'm not quite sure what to do for that sort of thing. I'm not exactly a doctor, but here's something for the pain. And Nima is going to get out one of her stim packs and pass that over to Mattu.
Without looking, he just sort of sticks it in the correct vein, because ironically he has medicine as a career, although he has no points in it. So self-treating, I guess, is something he's used to.
Dr. Mattu.
Thank you, Elte.
Right, so he's essentially shooting himself up with morphine. So, yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Elte. appreciate it.
Yeah, now, do you want to pick up all this armor?
Right, on it.
Yeah, you have a bunk for a reason.
Shortly after TV very successfully...
Don't mention
networks,
it.
...networks the...
Oh, you didn't.
...ancient hug into line, and it picks up the five containers.
Does TV have an ear or something I can flick when he does that? Or should I get, like, a little spray bottle?
A what?
Stop that.
It could be, you know how in Empire Strikes Back when Chewie's trying to put 3PO together and he accidentally turns off his eyes? He just reaches over, like, Kif reaches over off on, like, real quick, like, tree.
He does have kind of ear head area, but it's made of metal. I'm not sure it's going to accomplish what you're after.
Yeah, it'd be kind of uncomfortable to. We'll see. Yeah.
Oh, well, it'd be like flicking a
just
bell.
Just reach it over. Tang. Stop that.
I actually almost could see it ringing. Exactly. Yes. Like that. As you're reaching over to flick TV's droid head, Lilu speaks up over the internal comms for the ship, saying, please, take your seats. We are going to be going into hyperspace shortly. Now, the TV has networked the old tug in the line behind the spinster's loom.
Is anybody in the tug?
Now, if TV wants to hang on the outside...
He could probably do it, but it would be amazingly uncomfortable, and I...
And we would never...
That was not a serious suggestion.
The end of it.
It's what I would expect.
He's a valuable piece of property for the Alliance.
Ooh,
we don't want him to be damaged.
Not going
to
hear the end of that one either.
TV's head just swivels slightly and he stares at you with his dead droid eyes.
Yeah, the trip through hyperspace goes without any hitches. It goes on for a few hours. You come out of hyperspace and Lilu comes over the comms saying, we're going to be docking shortly. The tug is going to pull alongside the Shadow Raptor and cargo will start being transferred at that time. Please... We shall be docking shortly, and thank you for flying on the spinster's loom.
Can I roll an opposed warfare check against TV to see who won the last round of Djeric?
I would absolutely love that.
Yes.
Oh god, here we go again.
My warfare is garbage. It's only two green.
Warfare?
Yeah, it's an intellect skill.
Yeah, a knowledge. It's a knowledge skill. Knowledge warfare.
Yeah, I was just trying to convince of something else. Deception.
If you want to try, like, deception or something.
Oh, yes, please. Because you know he cheats. Even though he doesn't have to, he does it just to be obnoxious.
I'll go with deception.
What is your deception?
I got one ranking. One yellow, one green.
So I'm going two green against a red and a purple, yes?
That is what I'm hearing.
Can I give myself a black? Because this just playing against him frustrates me so much that I can't focus. It just... Oh, I won!
Except...
I won, but the two... I got two successes, two threats. I won, but TV has somehow convinced me that I lost.
Exactly.
I
didn't know that was a rule. I can't believe it. I've been playing Djeric so wrong for so long.
I don't understand.
You know, one of these days, we're going to have to try a different game and see if we're going to be better at it. Sabacc, anyone?
I've got dots and crosses.
Yes, the wonders of
gambling. Since you've played incorrectly your entire life, really, you've not only lost this game, but every game you've ever played.
It wasn't a despair.
It's just...
But you know in truth.
I don't know. I'm going to give myself a strain. Give myself a strain.
At this particular point, a relatively young, fairly fresh-faced lieutenant comes in and essentially tries to collect you for. The general is going to be doing his debrief shortly. If you want to drop off your equipment at their quarters, please feel free to do so, and then meet us at the briefing room.
Hey, Matu. Matu, you want to carry my bag again?
Wait a minute. No, the last time you had us do this, we were immediately sent back on ship, and I had to carry all the bags back. Are you sure I should be unloading this ship? You're not going to turn me around and go back on the ship?
From here... The captain says we are supposed to be rejoining the fleet.
Very well. Start picking up the bags.
By carrying the bags, he means, of course, that he handed them to me.
I did not. I could carry all of them if I wanted to. Watch! And he just starts picking up all the bags.
Dead droid eyes again. Expressionless face.
I thought I was an easy mark.
I will willingly let you take my duffel. Like, maybe if you carry it on this shoulder.
Oh, don't forget the shield and the bags.
Oh, hold on. You're going
to
tip
over. I got it. Yep. TV, I don't recall you needing this big metal cube before. Are you sure we need it?
Yes.
All right.
And that pile of cables.
Okay, just throw them over my neck.
He starts tightening them.
This Lieutenant Hastings is ushering you through the ship, just making sure the turbo lifts are there when you get to them so that you aren't waiting.
Ooh, service.
He may be a little fresh-faced lieutenant, but what he's doing is making sure that the four of you are not late for your debriefing with General Kraken.
And I've also got the silver briefcase that we used for the transfer last time to be able to return.
I bet Matu could carry that.
Oh, you brought it back. That's wonderful. The last person who we sent out with one of those, well, we got the case back. They never came back, though. Hold on to that. Bring it with you to the briefing room. The captain will gladly take it from you.
Does this fresh-faced LT have a name?
Lieutenant Hastings. You aren't quite sure. You might have seen him on the bridge the last time you were there, but...
There were so many people aboard, and...
Exactly.
And I'm guessing Hastings is human.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Yeah, when there were a lot of also interesting species up there last time. Four-armed pigmen and something else. I don't even know what to call it. And
oh, it was a boss.
Oh, no. We had him, but there was something else on the bridge that I don't even have a word for.
To the bridge.
Yes, the Loradian. So dropping off your duffels and whatnot, if you're wanting to just sort of change over into standard fatigues, this would definitely be the time. Changing out the heavy armor if you want to.
Head down, well, after I've dropped off all of the bags in the quarters, I swing by the armory and I toss it to, who's the armor guy or girl?
It's a green-skinned Duros that has the name tag of Sergeant Bane.
Sergeant, can you buff out the Wookiee print for me? I kind of got punched full-on in the chest.
He takes a look at the chest plate. Wow. I've seen Wookiees do things, but usually it's just to, like, soft, meaty beings. Like, arms. I don't know what it is, but Wookiees' arms, they swing them around like clubs. It's disturbing. But no, I should be able to get this done. Fairly short order. Come back when you need to.
Oh, great. Great. That sounds great. You are my new best friend, because I get hit a lot, and this armor takes a lot of damage. So I'll be seeing you. Tell me what kind of wine you like. I'll send you a bottle.
You know, if you didn't make Wookiees mad, this wouldn't be a problem.
I didn't do anything. Why does everyone assume I'm just
you
picking a fight?
You did slice him.
After he punched me.
On the subject of fatigues and such, Nima actually will stay in her padded armor. It's one of the reasons why she likes it better than Matu's whole laminate getup, because it's pretty comfortable, and unless she would be expected to show up in dress uniform, which we weren't last time, I don't see her changing out of it so much. But she will, like, take off her gun belt and a lot of the random heavy bits of gear and stuff like that and go ahead and stow it.
Yeah, no, I'm keeping all my stuff on me, just in case.
Okay.
Just in case of what?
I want people to take it, man.
We're aboard an Alliance frigate. These are our quarters.
The only one... there's a lot of ship's crew, like the purser and whatnot, who has access to it. But generally, they're trustworthy.
I look at it this way.
Kith, you definitely don't need to bring your duffel bag.
Okay, fine. I'll leave the bag, but the tools stay with me. Don't want people touching them. I'm keeping my eye on you, too, man.
Okay, the tools stay with you. That's fine.
Kith, I appreciate your vigilance and paranoia.
You'll be sorry.
Although Nima's not one to talk while she is leaving her gun belt behind, she didn't bother to take out her holdout blaster.
Yeah, Matu just has the sword because he does not leave that anywhere.
Absolutely. And TV's just, well, they're magnetically grappled to him anyway, so.
So off to the bridge.
Off to the bridge. Yeah, Lieutenant Hastings hushes you into the conference room, and you find General Kraken already there, the relatively older gentleman sitting there in Republic General's uniform from the shoulder up as he's taking up this entire hollow tank. Captain Sertuli is there alongside one of the new protocol droids that is there, and just to TV, it's creepy. Because it is absolutely seeming to be factory fresh. It's acting exactly as if you were to see it on a showroom floor.
Young fool.
No personality at all.
Zombie droids.
Pretty much. As soon as the four of you come in, especially Nemo there with the case, Captain Sertuli comes over and says, "The four of you have performed with great distinction. You have saved us. 1,000,000 credits will help so many different operations that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. while we do need these droids, the funds that you have saved will help the Alliance to almost no end.
And Nima will go ahead and take the silver briefcase and pass it back over to the captain.
To which she takes it and then just turns it around, double checks it, it's closed, and just pats the top of it.
I see that the new droids are working out already.
We're unloading them, and while we do need to give them a deeper security scan, we think that it's going to work out pretty handily for the Alliance. These are far more droids than we had ever hoped, and for a much, much better price. Thank you so much, and thank you to TV and Kith for giving them the initial check over to make sure that nothing was obviously wrong with them.
Well, we're here to serve, Captain.
Cracking continues. You can't know how badly we needed these droids. Good job. I'll see you all at the fleet. Kraken out. Kraken's visage contracts towards the table into nothingness, as if swallowed by a black hole. A high tone blasts twice over the ship's intercom. Attention, all hands. Attention, all hands. Make ready for jump to hyperspace. Batten all hatches fore and aft, and assume jump position. The message repeats, and moments later, the deck hums with energy as the Shadow Raptor comes about to its jump vector. A momentary lurch throws your sense of gravity to all sides of the room at once, as the Raptor engages its hyperdrive. The smooth hum of hyperspace is interrupted by a violent rumble below deck, followed by two muffled pops. The lights flicker and emergency klaxons wail. The Raptor twists and tumbles uncontrollably through hyperspace, overloading the internal dampeners. You remember the stories of the lost Primidori Explorer, the Queen of Rarum, and a dozen other famous ships lost, never to be heard from again. One final boom rocks the Raptor into silence. The deck plates are no longer humming, the alarms have stopped, and the ship isn't in hyperspace anymore. The ion engines are silent.
It's not my fault.
It was funny because I think Nima probably first looked back at TV when all of this happened.
It's not my fault.
Guys, whose fault doesn't matter? The ship is dead. You can't hear it. When a ship is dead, yeah, we're dead.
Yeah, we have a big problem.
It's not my fault.
Matu appears out of the corridor. His sword has already been drawn. I've checked the perimeter. There's no intruders so far.
As General Kraken was finishing, the captain was heading out to the bridge with a briefcase. But the protocol droid was still there, and it spins around, its hand dropping down unnaturally. You see the end of a blaster pointed at TV.
Not again.
What do the four of you do?
Given that this droid has a blaster drawn on a member of her team, I think Nima's first reaction would be to go for her holdout blaster, quick draw it, and snap a shot off at it.
And as soon as that blaster bolt filled the room with light, Mati would go for a neck strike with the blade.
Side tackle, TV, out of the way.
All right.
TV complains.
Just so terse and very, just so economical with your language there. No, by all means, this is at short range.
So this is just one purple then because it's short range?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Nima has an agility of 3 and has two training and ranged light, so which gives her 2 yellow and 1 green.
Do you have actual quick draw as a thing?
Yeah. It's one of the benefits of being a tactician. Oh. She drew this in the blink of an eye.
Sweet. So you get to have aim, right?
Yep. She's even going to take a moment to line up her shot.
Nice.
And to top it off, her holdout blaster has a set trigger on it. It'll add a success and a threat to the first combat check made with this weapon each encounter, for better or worse.
That is kind of awesome.
And this is going to be another moment of the LT being awesome. And in fact, it's like the force is willing it. I'm going to spend a light side point.
Awesome. Awesome.
And that will lead up to 4 successes because of my set trigger. The threat from the set trigger cancels out the 1 advantage I rolled. And so that will be a total of 8 damage. 9 damage to this poor droid.
Oh, he's the poor droid.
Yes, yes, that is the poor droid. Because that is enough to essentially open this gaping, smoking hole in this Ursa's protocol droid's chest. And you see a few sparks.
This is probably a headshot then.
That also works, yeah. Like half of the head's now missing as the holdout blaster strikes down the eye socket and sort of causing half of it to evaporate as it then falls backwards.
And Matu takes a big old swing at nothing.
Kith.
Too slow. We have a big problem. If this was a droid from the Order,
Kith.
We brought a lot of droids aboard this ship.
Kith.
How many are compromised in the same way?
Please get off me.
Fine, I'll get off of
Thank you.
It's all right, LT. I brought one restraining bolt.
Well, good. We can save one of them.
That's it for this week. Thank you all for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th Night with a K.
You can find TV at iBrentBrown.
And if you want to talk to me on Twitter, I am Leslit GS.
You can find me at SilZeroChris. That's SilZeroChris. You can also check out my show, Silhouette Zero, at silzero.podbean.com.
And we're all at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcast is on iTunes and Google Play, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way.
Drop us a holocom at heroes@thehydeanway.com.